Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Many people, including some Christians, in the first century of the Christian era, had sincere qualms about eating meat as contrasted with eating vegetables. Their views were not based on Scripture, but on the teachings of some prominent Greek philosophers. Some of the Greeks believed that all life, not just all human life, was sacred. So to kill and to eat cattle, or hogs, or other animals, was inadvisable, if not sinful. Those ideas crept into the early church, especially into the church at Rome, and caused some division and confusion among God's people. Romans 14:2 gives us some insight into why Paul included this information in the book of Romans. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs. Eating all things would include eating flesh. That was offensive to some church members in the first century. It was also offensive to many within the culture surrounding the church. Based on the misapplication of some principles laid down in Romans 14, I am speaking with you today on the topic Christmas celebration and Romans 14. In a church bulletin I received in the year 2000, the writer of an article in the bulletin made a number of comments about celebrating Christmas as a religious holiday. A few excerpts from the bulletin article should be enlightening. These are his words. In Romans 14, Paul addresses what to do about disputable matters. As a matter of fact, that is not what Paul addresses. Every topic, including the deity of Jesus Christ, is a disputable matter. That is, every topic one can imagine is a matter of dispute with someone or with some group. If you have the slightest doubt about that last observation, I urge you to read Dr. Harold O.J. Brown's outstanding book, Heresies, The Image of Christ in the Mirror of Heresy and Orthodoxy from the Apostle to the Present. Every biblical doctrine from the creation of the world to the Lord's second coming has been a matter of dispute. But that is not what Paul was addressing in Romans 14. The author of the bulletin article says Paul was discussing issues like eating meat and sacred days. There is no doubt Paul was speaking of eating meat as contrasted with eating herbs or vegetables. But was he talking about sacred days? Please listen to what Paul said about days. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He who regards the day, regards it unto the Lord. And he who regards not the day, to the Lord he does not regard it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. Romans 14, 5 and 6. The Greek word translated regards can be rendered observes, thinks of, or esteems. It literally means to put one's mind on. Does that mean a person can choose a day, any day, Christmas, Easter, the day of Pentecost, and observe that day as being sacred? Do Christians have the freedom to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy or sacred? Paul told the Galatians that keeping the law of Moses, and that included observing the Sabbath day, would mean Christ had become of no effect unto them. They had fallen away from grace. Galatians 5, 1-4. The intention of the Holy Spirit in leading Paul to write Romans 14 was to show that matters of opinion or matters of indifference must not be allowed to disrupt fellowship in the church of the living God. Please notice the expression, matters of opinion, or matters of indifference. Paul was not discussing matters about which God had spoken. And so men were free in areas of opinion to do as they please in those areas, so long as their behavior did not cause a weak brother to sin. Paul explains what he had in mind. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure. But it is evil for that man who eats with offense. Romans 14:20. The expression eats with offense means causing offense by eating. If eating flesh were contrary to the will of God, Paul would not have used the language I have read to you from Romans 14. eating meat was not wrong, unless a man had doubts that he ought to eat flesh. In that case, he is weak and does not understand what God has so graciously provided for him and for all other Christians. Besides, he would be violating his own conscience. The bulletin article asserts, Paul basically says if a brother wants to attach significance to a day and consider it different from others, he has the freedom to do that. No one should look down on or judge him, nor should he look down or judge those who don't share his conclusions. He has freedom in Christ to attach significance to any day he chooses, and others have the freedom to join him if they choose. I do not for one moment question the sincerity of the person who wrote the bulletin article, but it contains some very serious errors. If our brother were attaching social, political, familial, or cultural significance to a day, I could find no fault with his teaching. That would be true even of the Jewish Sabbath. Some people who have been converted to Christ from Judaism still attach cultural significance to Saturday. They may even choose to refrain from work on that day. I may attach political significance to the 4th of July or to Veterans Day, and I do. There are certain days in our family that have very special meaning to us, birthdays, wedding anniversaries, and such like. I know of no one who objects to such arrangements. But may we elevate Christmas or Easter to a place of religious significance? If we can do that, I see no reason why we cannot choose any day, including the Jewish Sabbath, and give it religious meaning. But keeping the Jewish Sabbath as a religious holiday is not one option for Christians. Keeping the Sabbath does not fall into the category of matters of opinion or matters of indifference. Those who keep the Sabbath as a religious obligation have returned to the old covenant and have denied the efficacy of Christ's death on the cross. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, he says very plainly, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect to an holy day, or of the new moon, or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Colossians 2:16-17. Is the Christian free in Christ, as the bulletin article affirmed, to attach significance to any day he chooses? And by significance, he means religious significance, as he wrote earlier in the article. If we are not free to elevate any day and to give it religious significance, and scripturally speaking, we are not, we have a right, in fact we have an obligation, to judge whether a brother in Christ is violating the New Testament teaching about adding to or taking from God's inspired Word. On matters of opinion, we're not to judge a brother because his opinions differ from ours. If he wants to refrain from eating meat, I have no right to tell him that he cannot be a faithful Christian and eat only vegetables. He believes he has a right to eat vegetables only. I believe I have a right to eat flesh. We can and should work together and not question each other's motives. The same applies to observing certain days as being special, so long as we do not give them religious significance. Paul advised, "Let not him who eats despise him who eats not, and let not him who eats not judge him who eats, for God has received him." Romans 14:3. Our emphasis in our examination of the bulletin article is not on the word significance, but on the word religious. Does our friend know, or does he care, that we have no right to give religious significance to any doctrine or to any practice that does not have scriptural support? Is that not what Paul meant when he wrote to the Colossians? "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him." Colossians 3:16-17. Faithful gospel preachers have always used that approach in discussing the use of mechanical instruments of music in worship, or the addition of foot washing, or substituting sprinkling and pouring for baptism. We have maintained that we must have scriptural authority for all we do in the work and worship of the church. One remarkable expression of this truth comes from the book Instrumental Music in the Public Worship of the Church by Dr. John L. Girardo of Columbia Theological Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina. Dr. Girardo, a Presbyterian scholar, wrote as follows, "Attention at the outset is invoked to the considerations which serve to establish the following controlling principle. A divine warrant is necessary for every element of doctrine, government, and worship of the church. That is, whatsoever in these spheres is not commanded in the Scriptures, either expressly or by good and necessary consequence from their statements, is forbidden." Page 9. Dr. Girardo further states, "This truth operates positively to the inclusion of everything in the doctrine, government, and worship of the church, which is commanded, explicitly or implicitly, in the Scriptures, and negatively to the exclusion of everything which is not so commanded." Page 10. "Since the Scriptures do not authorize Christmas as a religious holiday, Christians have no right to do so. We can use that season of the year to exchange gifts, to meet as family and friends, to enjoy the vacations our companies provide, and to have wonderful meals together. But our brother has overstepped biblical authority when he writes, 'Regarding the subject of Christmas, then, it seems to me that if someone wants to attach religious significance to Christmas, they have the freedom in Christ to do so.' He adds these inexplicable observations. Well, again, it seems to me that if a local, autonomous congregation decides to have a special program of sorts, whether it's Christmas, Easter, homecoming, gospel meeting, sing-song, and so forth, that's up to the leaders and members of that congregation." One expression in this discussion of Christmas bothers me considerably, and that is, "it seems to me." Deciding what should be included in the work and worship of the church cannot be decided on the basis of what seems right to you or to me. Almost 3,000 years ago, Solomon made it plain that what seems right may be eternally damning. "There is a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof is the way of death." Proverbs 14:12. To some people, the burning of incense, worshiping idols, and engaging in human sacrifice may seem right, but those activities are not acceptable to the Lord. Tragically, many religious leaders, including some among churches of Christ, use the book of Galatians to support total freedom in Christ. "Since we are not under the law of Moses," they argue, "we can do just about whatever we please and not bring the wrath of God on our heads." How anyone can read Galatians and arrive at such an illogical conclusion defies imagination. Have those left-leaning preachers ever read, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Galatians 1:8. We are free in worship to follow the Lord's instruction. We are not free to do what seems good to us. If we were, there would be no end to what might be introduced into the work and worship of the church. If you want to know how far churches go when they do what seems good to the leaders and to the members, watch almost any worship service on Trinity Broadcasting Network. Is that what some churches of Christ will eventually do, unless the leadership has enough respect for the Scriptures to stop it? The writer of the bulletin article says concerning the person who sets aside Christmas as a religious celebration, "He has the freedom in Christ to attach significance to any day he chooses. No one should look down on him or judge him." He then quotes Paul as asking, "Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls." Paul was speaking of eating meat or not eating meat, regarding one day above another or not regarding one day above another. But he was not speaking of setting aside a day and giving it religious significance. How tragic that our brother does not understand that principle. If Paul meant we could give religious significance to any day, he would contradict what he wrote about Sabbath keeping, Colossians 2:14-17. We cannot keep the Sabbath day holy without denying the new covenant and returning to the old. The author of the bulletin article says it seems to him that a local, autonomous congregation can have special programs such as Christmas, Easter, homecoming, gospel meetings, sing songs, and such like, so long as the leaders and the members decide to do so. Is he so illogical and poorly informed as to equate gospel meetings and sing songs with Christmas and Easter? Gospel meetings and sing songs are mere methods of spreading the gospel in sermons and in songs. They involve no addition to or subtraction from or substitution for what God has commanded. The gospel meeting on the day of Pentecost shows conclusively that God approves of such meetings. The truth is that Christ, the apostles, and other first century preachers often engaged in gospel meetings. And who can find scriptural fault with Christians gathering to praise God in song? Christmas and Easter are man-made celebrations, not God-ordained activities. To give these days religious significance cannot be sustained from the teaching of the Bible. When we set aside Christmas and Easter as holy days, we are guilty of falling in with the fleeting fashions of this world. Romans 12:2. The attitude manifested in giving these days religious significance is the attitude that has introduced all kinds of innovations into the worship of the church. It is the spirit that has fostered division among the professed followers of Jesus Christ. When Paul asked, "Who are you to judge someone else's servant?" he was not denying the church the right to examine and to decide if error was being taught. When Christmas or Easter takes on holy meaning, the church has ceased following the teaching of Christ and of the apostles. It places itself in a position of being an apostate church. The church has the right to judge such matters. In fact, it has an obligation to judge such matters. Christmas and Easter have no foundation in the Scriptures. The truth is, they are contrary to Scripture. The article concludes, "If Christmas carries with it a special meaning to you, then enjoy it and give thanks to God. If not, enjoy it and give thanks to God. And do so without passing judgment on your brother. And if some congregation in our fellowship has a special Christmas program, don't condemn them. Allow them to exercise the freedom they enjoy in Christ." Faithful preachers, elders, and members of the church have no option but to oppose and to condemn Christmas celebrations. It is true that some people may have an ugly attitude when they do oppose such unscriptural practices, and that is never justified. But that does not prohibit faithful churches from showing that no one, I repeat, no one, can find scriptural justification for making Christmas or Easter holy days. If the argument our brother has used in his bulletin article proves that Christians may keep Christmas and Easter holy, it also proves that Christians may keep the Sabbath holy. Is he willing to live by the conclusions he has reached in this matter? If he is as guilty as the Judaizers Paul so strongly condemned in the Galatian letter. Paul accused them of making the cross of Christ of no effect and having fallen from grace. Galatians 5:4. It is just as scriptural to keep the Sabbath holy as it is to keep Christmas and Easter holy. Am I telling you that gospel preachers should not speak on the birth of Christ during the month of December or on the resurrection of Christ at the season called Easter? As a matter of fact, I am not telling you that. The bulletin article says that a preacher is wise to capitalize on a subject that is already on the minds of many people. That may be true, but I usually refrain from preaching on these topics at those seasons so that my listeners will not conclude that I think these days have any special religious significance. Do I preach on the birth and on the resurrection of Christ? Absolutely. but I generally refrain from doing it during the times that men have designated as special seasons. They are not special seasons. From a biblical viewpoint, they have no religious significance. In fact, they are anti-biblical and anti-Christian. The attempt to find scriptural authority for keeping Christmas and Easter holy falls flat. It does not fit into the category of matters of opinion. Giving these man-made days religious significance is a clear violation of the absolute need for authority in religion. Churches that give these days any religious significance show that they have departed from the teaching of God's Word. Those churches may be sincere in their teaching and practice, but sincerity is not a test of truth. If we want to have God's approval of what we teach and what we do, must we not do Bible things in Bible ways and call Bible things by Bible names? Are we free to choose how we shall worship God, or must we follow His inspired Word? Must we do all in the name of the Lord, or are we free to do whatever we want in our own name? My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless and keep you.